Tommy in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink and sometimes eat. Go up to our big website, resist.com. You can spend years in there. I mean, literally years. We have all kinds of free downloads of old radio shows, older radio shows, which we put up there. About approximately 3 weeks after we produce a show, we put it in those archives at resist.com. Now, we'd appreciate it if you contribute a little money once in a while and have fun listening to all those older shows. But every day, we put out a new show, a fresh show, and it goes right to your email box if you donate $20 a month for 6 hour shows per week. We're off on Sunday. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, is our P.O. Box. Address your mail to box holder, Tom Metzger, whichever Yanks your crank. I'll get it any one of those ways. And we're going to get into our show right now. So get ready. Get set.
Tom Metzger, who I love dearly, and I introduce Tom Metzger to the show. Tom, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Susie. Nice to hear you again. I'm like a guy in a balloon basket, throwing off sandbags, getting rid of a lot of stuff. It didn't do me any good. So now I only respond to white racist. I'm a white racist, pure and simple. Mm-hmm. And that means that I'm totally and only interested in the benefit of the white race. Beyond that, I'm only interested in a certain portion of the race, period.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've had this discussion with someone recently. 40 years ago, as opposed to today, do we have less whites in the world, or do we have less white rule in the world?
Well, we have less whites, period, and then we have even less white people who care they're white. We've only got about, whatever the amount is, 10% or whatever. But it doesn't really make so much difference what percentage there is if they won't fight. And if they won't fight for their race and if they won't go after their enemies and take care of the situation. So it doesn't make any difference just to be white anymore. You've got to be a certain kind of white. And that is a white that, like our ancient heathen forefathers before us, fought and evolved in Europe and became a great and powerful race. Well, I, of course, decided that when I ran the Klan in California that we would go for a political situation. Maybe we would try to work into politics, and I ran for Congress first, and I was offered many, many attractive offers from powerful people, both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. But they all had strings attached, and I said, I'm not going along with any strings attached. And so I did win the primary and the biggest congressional district in the United States, and I was lucky enough to meet up with Nancy Pelosi at the State Democrat Central Committee convention, and she had the cops, and they threw me out. I was there to take my seat, my legal constitutional seat on the state committee of the Democrat Party in Sacramento. And I was met at the door by the future governor, Nancy Pelosi, with the cops, and they barred me from taking my seat. And then I was barred from taking my county seat and three people I could appoint to go with me. So at that point I said, this political game is never going to work. They got a million ways to stop you. So that's, and then of course later they decided I was getting too much publicity and too many TV shows. And remember, you got to go way back to the Vietnam War. when I refused to pay income taxes to support the war, because there's so many people getting killed over there for nothing, you know, serving the corporations and the war machine. And I refused to pay income tax. There's not, you know, leftists always talk about how they did that. How many of them, had the IRS seize their house because they refused to pay taxes for the war? Very few.
Mm-hmm.
I became more radical. Every time they do these things to me, I become more radical.
But that not only happened to you, because I remember within the last year, year and a half, there was another man, and I can't remember who it was, and he was running for office, and they wouldn't let him take his seat. I mean, physically take his seat. So
right.
What year did that happen to you? Because this was like 2008.
Well, this was in 1980, and then I ran for U.S. Senate in 1982 and received about 100,000 votes, but I didn't win. There were nine other guys running, you know, including Jerry Brown, and Gore Vidal was running against me, too. But anyhow, by that time I had decided we're never going to get any place playing a political game, because a lot of people don't know that even if you're elected to Congress or the Senate, they have rules in there that if they still don't like you, they can keep you out. There was a socialist up in, Wisconsin way back at the turn of the last century who won the election 5 or 6 times, and every time he'd go to Washington to take his seat, they threw him out. So just because you win the election, you don't even mean you're going to get in.
That's incredible.
A lot of people don't know that.
No, a lot, and it's not in.
So anyhow, we're never going to win this at the ballot box. It's that part of the struggle is over.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned a lot. I learned a lot, and I'm still around. I mean, I've still got the. You know, people ask me all the time, how you doing, Tom? I say, I'm out. But it wasn't a sort of a knock at the door. It was more of a thud on my outer gates. But I want to add one more thing. If you want something really great about Henry Ford and all that, up on our website, we've got a lecture by Philip Crane, Dr. Philip Crane, who put this together back in the 70s, one of the greatest lectures I've ever heard. Tells the whole history of how Henry Ford fought the Jews when they were trying to clean him out, and how he had to create his own bank, and it's an amazing story. You don't see read about it hardly any place else, but it's up there on our website by Dr. Philip Crane. His brother, of course, was the congressman from Ohio years ago. I don't think he's in there anymore.
Mm.
But Henry Ford really fought guerrilla warfare. He had to close up the plant. Demand every dealer in the country to take on so many cars or lose their franchises. He got all the cash he could, and then he opened up all over again and defeated the Jews when they tried to put him out of business.
And they're continuing that today. I mean,
well, they got it because they got the Ford Foundation, so they ended up getting his money. But when they attacked you, that's a compliment. That's a badge of honor when they try to destroy you. If they're not trying to destroy you, you're doing something wrong. What I'd like to see is independent states breaking off from this federal arrangement,
mm-hmm.
and going back and doing things differently, doing things like we used to do it, and get rid of this Interstate Commerce Act, which gives the federals all kinds of power. You give people power, they're going to use it against you. So our country should be set up along state lines, and that way you can more easily handle a state than you can federal government. I mean, how can any of us walk out the door? We're going to handle a federal government. Well, you're not going to handle a federal government. But first, there has to be a civil war, a revolution, whatever, an uprising in this country, because we're getting closer to that time. Both the progressive left is upset with the government, and our side's upset with the government. And I see the time now when this thing is really going to come unraveled, and the heel of this federal state is going to come down. They're going to have to employ ruthless violence against the people, because the people are sick and tired of this crap, and they're going to rise up, and it's going to come from every direction. Not just Tom Metzger race, it's going to be all kinds of people. they just have to bring some troops back from Iraq and like that, because most of these guys that are in the military will go against the people. Only a certain percentage will not. When I was in California, I lived 35 years right next to the largest Marine base in the world, which is Camp Pendleton. I used to drink beer with the Marines down at the bar, and I asked them point blank if your commanding officers you to come over here to this town and seize every weapon in town, would you refuse? They said, no, we would follow orders.
Are the problem. I first saw them during the Democratic and National Conventions back in the fall of 2008, and I knew from a police perspective they were not cops. Number one, their equipment looked good. Their shields on their helmets were not a scrap. Their uniforms were nice and new looking, and their demeanor acted like military. They did not act like police officers. Even the commands they were giving to the people was not like the local police. But they have police written across the back of their outfits, and so when anyone watches that, they hate the local police.
Well, there are no local police. You've got too much federal money, even in the local police. Mm-hmm. Local police now are totally tainted by federal money, federal weapons. These local guys are getting tanks and half tracks and everything else. Come on. Mm-hmm. The local cops have been taken over by the federal through money. And I'm not saying every cop is bad. I mean, but I'm saying they have to be understood to be an employee of the state. And I put everybody, whether the local cops or state police or whoever, I put them in one bunch, the state. They serve the state. And if the state who signs their checks tell them to go out and pick you up, they're going to pick you up no matter how much they like you. Well, the one thing I want to remind people of before we get onto the Jew thing again, our problem is white people. Our problem is us. Our problem is nobody but us. And if we handled ourselves like we should, we wouldn't be in this mess. So we can't blame anybody else but ourselves as a race, because our race, and nobody could pull anything on us as long as we didn't have traitors running it and as long as we didn't have cowards in the population. We never had anybody who could take the white race. So we were defeating ourselves first. First, we have to weed our own race of the crap and corruption and the corporations and the CEOs and right down the line. We have to gain power within our own race to filch out the bad white people. Forget calling it capitalism, call it free enterprise. That's what free enterprise is. Capitalism is a banker's term. I don't know why these guys say you ever hear a welder or a carpenter say I'm a capitalist? That's a laugh. No, of course we're not capitalists. We're working people. We believe in free enterprise. We have to stand aside a little bit and let the white race get its ass really kicked. Mm-hmm. And out of that will come the fighters and the people we need then to do something, sort of like a Mad Max world. We're saddled with the right wing, and the right wing is playing around the ankles. The right wing keeps playing around at the bottom, still appendages of the Republican Party and things like that. No, the bulk of the people who say they're racial and they say they're conservative and right wing are pissing around at the bottom. They're not going to the top. They're not calling out the CEOs. They're not calling out the corporations, the rotten corporations. And I have more affinity with a lot of the left when it comes to economics and all that kind of stuff than I do the right. The right wing has totally failed it, and in many cases they've gone along with the bosses instead of fighting for the working people.
I agree with you, and that's something that I heard you say. What is wrong with saying, if this works from the right and this works from the left, why can't we join it and say this works instead of saying I'm right or I'm left?
You're right, exactly. That's why I don't even like to use the terms anymore. Mm-hmm. And a good share of the more radical leftists are not racial, but I have recruited some, and we can recruit a lot more because there's several, a lot of things we agree on that I don't agree with the right on. I mean, I'm anti-war. Right. I'm anti-corporations. I want to defang the corporations and take their status away from them, where they're judged as an individual, a human. A corporation's got every rights of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
A corporation, not a person, a corporation. We got to take that away from them. We got to get the Sherman Antitrust going against them. We got to really, and you know, this argument we're getting into on the health thing.
Yeah.
Look, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. On one side, you have rotten and corrupt large medical and drug outfits that need to be brought under control. On the other side, you got the corrupt politicians who want to grab that power and use it against us too. So we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. But we should, when the left says we got amounts of corruption in the medical business, in the drug business, and all that, these guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars, we should say, yeah, you're right. We got to clean up both sides, but we don't need a damn government office to tell us about our health either. No, the nation can't. The nation's gone. The nation's gone. We have to have a new nation. A new nation. I call it Pan-Aryan because I believe that combined with white people all over the world and work directly together and forget the nation. The nation and the national, the nation is an old concept which actually was put together more like by the industrialists than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a nation as long as we've got our race. And we have millions of white people all over the world. South America, there's millions of white people in South America. We got them in Australia and South Africa. We're one brotherhood to take care of our own self, and then we can take care of everything else. But I don't believe we should have any allegiance to any of the central governments anymore. No allegiance whatsoever. I will not fly the flag of the empire. I have flown the 13th star flag and things like that. But I will. Mm-hmm. I get criticized for that because I flew the 13th star flag upside down. I got a 30-foot flagpole in my front yard, you know. But the mm-hmm. point is, if we have allegiance to this vicious, bestial system that believes it could go around the world declaring war and invading countries everywhere through capitalism, it's not to save the United States, it's not to protect the American people, whether they're black or white or anything else, it's pure greed. We cannot have any loyalty to that. This mm-hmm. country was not formed to be an empire. It sort of slid into empire, and it's in control of the transnational corporations and thousands and thousands and thousands of white rats, too, that are not.
Yes.
Your government is totally a vassal of the transnational corporations and the international bankers.
Yes.
And they've been told about that for a while, way back in Henry Ford, and everybody told us about it. They are totally under control. And what's funny, I listen a lot to all sides, and at night on the satellite, I listen to a lot of left-wing people, the progressives. They thought that Obama was going to do all these great things for the people, and I laughed about it because I said, he's a Manchurian candidate. He's totally owned and controlled by the corporations, and now they see it now, too, that nothing has changed. Nothing. From
nothing.
Him, nothing has changed.
When did it start to go bad? Can you mention a president when it started to go bad?
Yeah, my friend Dr. Shockley, you know, Dr. Shockley invented the transistor, and mm-hmm. he was a racial guy and wrote books about race and everything. I asked him one time at a private meeting, when did we start to go bad? He said, well, shortly after Cro-Magnon.
Uh-oh.
wherever there's greed and you let it get a hold of you, or religious fanaticism and things mm-hmm. like that, you're going to go down to two. Runaway profits of the Christian church and their ability not to be taxed is a very dangerous thing. They put Bush in last time. If it had to have been for the Zionist Christians, Bush would have never got in, and then we would have never attacked Iraq, and we attacked it illegally, and I'm not for the Taliban or those people over there, except they're for their own country. They're in their own land, and if we come into their lands and they kill us, we got nothing to say about it as far as I'm concerned. If they come into our land and do the bad things, then we have an option to cut their throat. But when we go into the empire, into these foreign countries and invade them and try to tell people that we're defending your country, which is the biggest bunch of bullshit that's ever been said,
mm-hmm.
All they want to do in Afghanistan is they want to build that big natural gas line across Afghanistan, mm-hmm. and they want to protect trade and cocaine. You know, under the Taliban, there was only about 30 tons a year. Now there's about 300 tons of going out of there. No, it's all, I mean, it's just like General Smedley Butler said, one of the most decorated heroes of the Marine Corps. He wrote a book. War is all for profit. And all this crap is for profit. Mm-hmm. We have 700 bases around the world holding up this empire, and the empire is going to fall. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. It's just, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? And the white race, if they're going to survive, they're going to have to get out of this damn mythology of Christianity. We need our intellectuals, and I'm very proud of our intellectuals, and we've had quite a number of them over the years. But remember one thing, intellectuals are not generals. And you have to have generals to carry on a war. Intellectuals might be able to throw a book at somebody, but that's about it. You have to understand that you have to at some point take the war to the enemy. You can't just talk about it forever. You can't just think about it forever. You can't keep theorizing about it forever. Sooner or later, it has to get down to physical contact. Take it to the top, people. Always start at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, the anarchists back in the 1800s, they really did a number, man. They were taking them out like mad. I mean, they didn't mess around at the bottom. They weren't going after working people. They went after the top. Anyone who opposes our survival mm-hmm. and expansion as a race is the enemy. I don't care whether he's got blonde hair, blue eyes, he's 6 foot tall, and comes from Norway.
Excellent.
If he is opposed to our survival and expansion as a race, then he's just as much an enemy as any the top Jew. In fact, I run into a lot of Jews who are not nearly as much an enemy of the white race as many white people,
yes,
non-Jewish people are. Just remember, this war never ends. You see, a lot of people only think we got to win a war and then go home. No, mm-hmm. no. This war goes on for centuries and centuries.
Right.
It's handed from father to son and from father to daughter and like that. You can never stop. The struggle goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong. Struggle is life. Life is struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle is good. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to be aware of our enemies, always have to be on guard, always have to be prepared and so forth, as other people are too in other races, you know. So this idea that you can fight a war and then go home and sit down under your fig tree, that's baloney. Well, look at Vietnam. We should have learned from Vietnam. We should have learned from World War II. We should have learned from Korea. We didn't learn. I mean, this country didn't learn. They're all ready to go right back into the bloodbath. That we have hundreds and maybe thousands of good white people going over there fighting these corporate wars and then coming back with the legs blown off and or PTS and all screwed up in their brain and everything else. We're going to see all these guys coming back, all blown to shit, all arms gone, legs gone, blind, everything else. And they're going to say, well, you're a wonderful person. You did it for your country. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
The big corporations. I would rather break a guy's legs to keep him from going into these wars. I'd do anything to, if I had a neighbor and his kid was going to go off to war, I'd say, look, at least listen to what I've got to say. I'm going to tell you what I know about this thing. Then if you still want to go ahead, but don't deny I told you so. You're not fighting for your country. In other words, you're not fighting for your state. You're not fighting for your county. You're not fighting from your town. You're not fighting for your family. You're fighting for the goddamn corporations.
They've shot down
Strikers. They've shot down the miners out west, the Rockefellers and all of them. They've shot down the copper miners in Arizona. They shot down people in the Whiskey Rebellion. And then we had the Civil War, which was about money and the whole bit, and like that. So, this idea that this government, when it's put into a corner, is not going to come out and start brutalizing the people, is foolish. I don't care about Israel or, Iran or, Arabs. Let them fight it out. Hopefully they'll start slinging nukes at each other. I don't care. I'm from the United States and, being controlled by white people from, and Canada from the Arctic Circle all the way down, and then also all the white people in South America too. That's what I'm for. And I'm for a white Australia, and I'm for a white South Africa, and a white Europe. And the rest of it, I don't care what they do.
Right.
If we would get our imperialistic armies out of there, they wouldn't be wanting to throw nukes at each other. They'd be fighting themselves with the baseball bats, you know? Well, I don't call myself a white nationalist either. I'm a pan-Aryanist, and that's whites worldwide. I feel just much brotherhood with an Irishman or an Englishman or a German or a Frenchman or a Russian or a Serbian. I supported the Serbians in, during the last war when we were bombing them. The people in the South Africa and Australia, we're all brothers and sisters. I want an international movement of white people and bent on keeping it white. I mean, it should have been done, started 40 years ago when the Minutemen were running around and everything like that. We had some really good things going back there, but the people were really docile and like that. It's up to the government. The reason I'm as radical as I am is because the government made me radical. If they didn't want me the way I am, they shouldn't have created me. What I say is that they have to start coming after us. Now, if we can make enough noise, like a bullfighter with a red cape, that really, you know, Obama says, go out there and get those guys, like, they overreact. Well, our race is world conquerors and always have been. Our only competitor in the world has been the Asian and the Chinese. And, of course, you can see the power of the Japanese, who tremendous warriors and so forth, that little island that was trying to take us on in World War II. I mean, you know, so we do have legitimate competitors. I don't want hardly anybody in charge. I'm sort of a libertarian. I'm an independent white man. I want to handle my own affairs and not be bugged by anybody, really. And
right.
So I don't want to even have a lot of whites in charge either.
Right.
Because I'm an independent guy, and I don't want people telling me what to do.
Right.
But then once you've researched, it's time to get into action.
Yes.
You get out of college, you get out of university, and then you got to go get a job. And that's you got to do something. That is the thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand. You can be the best educated person in a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people they say the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. No, the truth never let anybody free. There's millions of people been in prison and in concentration camps. They knew the truth, but it sure didn't let them free. You see, that's a BS thing. You know, know the truth will set you free. Like Pilate allegedly said to Jesus, "What is truth?"
I know. There's a lot of it.
That was a great statement. I love that statement. Mm-hmm. What is truth?
Well, there you go, boys and girls. This is the end of our show for today, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow. Remember, five words. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say.